Hello and welcome to the seventh episode of Hot Air. My name is Greg Esser. This week I'm alongside Ben Fang, star of the DC Breeze. He's kind of played all around this year, but I'll call him D-Line here to start with and we'll make him correct it later. I'd like to thank Broke Royals for playing that great entry music. I'd like to thank Papa John's, Oak Creek Apparel, Big Board, Waveborn Sunglasses, and Kellogg Conference Center, all the DC Breeze's sponsors this year, helping us put together this great 7-7 campaign. Seven home games, seven on the road, wouldn't be possible without those sponsors. Before we start talking here, I'm going to let Ben introduce himself, and then we're going to have a little bit of agenda that will break, obviously, as soon as we get going. We're going to talk about kind of where Ben Fang comes from, where he's played Ultimate in the past. We're going to talk about those two games that went down last weekend, one against Rochester Dragons, one against Philadelphia Phoenix. We're going to talk a little bit about kind of the summary of the season as a whole, and then Ben's got some exciting news going here into the offseason, and we'll get to that at the very tail end. Ben, are there any wise words you want to impart to us up front?
No, not really. You know, I'm just really looking forward to this podcast and just the opportunity to talk and share.
Awesome. Well, it's been great getting a bunch of different teammates on here, and we've been excited to have you, so it should be a good one. I'll set some ground rules here. Be candid. You can say whatever you want. There shouldn't be too much of a backlash on social media, but in case there is, at the DC Breeze, at the Greg Esser. The other ground rule, and this is a good one, I'm looking for the wittiest member of the Breeze. And in order to find the wittiest member of the Breeze, I'm looking for wind puns. If you can drop a wind pun, not only will I scream in excitement, but just the whole world's going to love it. We're going to see how witty you can be here today, Ben.
Okay, it sounds good.
All right, so without further ado, then, let's get started talking about all these things. And the first thing I want to talk about is, who's Ben Fang? You know, where did you play in college? Did you play before college? How'd you find the sport?
Yeah, so actually, I first played the sport back in eighth grade at a middle school intramural league, and that was really fun. And I got to ninth grade at a private high school in Massachusetts, and I actually had an option. You know, I had the choice of choosing baseball or ultimate, and I chose baseball back in ninth grade. That was
what position did you play in baseball?
Yeah, it was all over the infield, really. It was no real set position. But
and those days didn't last long. When did you start going full-time ultimate?
Yeah, so I think, that ninth grade decision was definitely the worst decision of my life. In 11th grade, I realized that my baseball future was pretty limited and decided, let's try something new. And, I had this same decision, baseball or ultimate. This time, I chose ultimate, and, where I am today, it's definitely been the best decision of my life. So you
went full-time ultimate at the end of 11th grade, and then obviously kept playing in college, and that's when you found the D.C. area. You played locally for Georgetown?
Yeah, that's correct. Yep, I played for 4 years at Georgetown.
So when you rolled up on the scene at Georgetown, what was college ultimate like there? Was it, practice schedule set? Was it the captainship? Did it mature with you? Did you find a mature program? Talk to me a little bit about the state of Georgetown ultimate.
When I first got there, I think, the culture wasn't really established yet. There was a team there. There were some players that were committed. We did have a coach, but it didn't seem to have that overall, sort of team culture that was striving for, individual improvement, team improvement, growth over and over and over again. And I think, I got there and, there were people that were interested, but I think what we really needed was just more players that really wanted to improve and really wanted to grow and to make the team the best team that it could be. My freshman year, I think we finished seventh at sectionals and,
A lot of room for growth is the positive spin on that.
A lot of room for growth, really positive spin on that. The next few years, it's been up and down. By the senior year, we started, establishing a culture. And we started, growing as a team. Giving ourselves some small goals to really test ourselves and challenge ourselves. And, playing in big tournaments, playing against some very good teams. The highlight of my senior year was coming down. I think we were down 11-8 against UNC Wilmington, and you all know UNC Wilmington, one of the best teams in the country. Quarters of Atlantic Coast Regionals, we were down 11-8, went on a 4-0 run, and to knock off Wilmington, eliminate them from postseason contention at the quarterfinals of college regionals, definitely the highlight of our college career. So we went from 7th at sectionals my freshman year to 3rd at regionals my senior year.
Wow, so that's quite a lot of growth you saw there. Did that mirror your personal growth, do you think?
Yeah, I know, absolutely. And I think, you know, I mean, you know, something that I really enjoy is just trying to get better individually as a player and as a teammate. And I think, you know, that's happened in high school. You know, it's happened in college. It's happened after college, and it's still happening today. You know, I feel like I'm a better player today than I was a year ago. And, you know, a year ago I was a better player than 2 years ago, and yeah, so forth. So.
I think that's a good attitude to have, especially in a sport itself that's being invented in some ways. So talk to me then. You rolled out of Georgetown. You stayed local because you're still here in D.C. You know, what was made of your club career? How'd you find the club teams you played for? Who'd you play for?
Yeah, so I actually bounced around for a year. I was up in Massachusetts for a year after college, and so I bounced around with, you know, various club teams and, you know, league teams in D.C., Philadelphia, and Massachusetts. But, you know, after that, came back down to D.C. in 2013. And, you know, made Truck Stop that year and have played Truck Stop. So this is my third year now on Truck Stop. And then in the spring of 2014, played for the Breeze. So finishing my second year of the Breeze and currently in the third year of Truck. And I finally feel like, you know, I found a home here in D.C. I'm glad to be a part of both teams. So.
So that's how you found Truck Stop, and so that means you're a USAU warrior. You've been to Nationals a couple times. Those are exciting things. So I think that's good. We know a little bit more about Ben Fang. So let's talk about the Breeze then. You ended your story on the note of the Breeze, and that's a perfect segue. Friday night, you played a rain makeup against the Philadelphia Phoenix. Saturday, it was the final regular scheduled game of the season. That was against the Rochester Dragons. Tell me a little bit more about those games. They both resulted in victories. What went right? What do you chalk those victories up to?
I mean, first off, going into those two games, I was definitely looking forward to those. You know, being back at home, we hadn't had a home game for, I guess, over a month. It's been a while, just due to weather and, you know, other things that have happened with the schedule. But it was really, really exciting just leading up to that weekend, just to be back at home, to play in front of the home fans, and just to be back on familiar ground. So first off, that was great. As far as those games itself go, you know, I think those were our two best games of the year, and part of that is because we were efficient on the offensive end, and, you know, very timely on defensive end, where we had some players made some big defensive plays. We executed our defensive schemes pretty well, and, you know, just executed on a whole as a team. I think most importantly, we were confident. You know, we were confident going into it. We knew that if each individual player did their job, you know, played their role, we would have success as a team.
Yeah, I mean, you yourself played a little bit a bigger role, might I say, than some of the earlier games in the season, or at least a more central role. You were playing a lot more center handler, so I think that might have been also part of that. You know, more you said offensive conversion rate. You know, a lot of kudos to you. I'll give you credit here.
Well, I mean, I'd say I'm just happy to fill whatever role is asked of me, and you know, and I think whether it's O-line, D-line, handler, cutter, whatever the team needs, whatever the team, whatever, and the coaching staff feels is best for our team to give our team the best chance of success. That's something that I'm really looking forward to, and I'm just happy to do it either. And you know, I think, you know, the goal this weekend was, playing an offensive handler is just moving the disc quickly, keeping it in the middle of the field, and just setting our other playmakers up in a position for that so that they could succeed.
So you mentioned there the coaching staff, which is something I've asked everyone about, and maybe we're beating a dead horse at this point in time, but I think I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you why I had you in the room. You know, the Breeze across the community are touted as having one of the best coaching staff. You know, Sarah Ito increasingly stepping into a large role, Alex Gesquier, a.k.a. Dutchie, you know, a tenured coach across all spectrums of Ultimate at this point. You know, what are your thoughts about, you know, working with this coaching staff, and, you know, how's that been for you?
Yeah, working with those two, I mean, it's been a lot of fun. I think that, you know, everyone listens to Dutchie. And I think, you know, we all learn from him, you know, me included. Is like, you know, we all have seen his attitude and, you know, his the way he approaches the game and the way he approaches practices. And most importantly, he creates a very fun, you know, positive, supportive atmosphere for the team where it's, we have a lot of high fives. You know, we really cheer each other on and are supportive of each other. Yeah, you know, we all make mistakes. We all get frustrated. But it's about finding a way to use that frustration constructively so that we can better ourselves as individuals and as a team.
Thorough. Very, very good answer. So let me like change tracks here a little bit. I'm going to throw you a curveball question. All right, we talked about, you know, you played that center apex handler role. You know, you're happy to fill whatever role is granted to you. And I think that's indicative of your stat line for this year, which is 16 assists, 15 goals, and 10 defenses. All around. And, you know, none of those numbers, I think, were the best on the team. I think the defenses were actually the second best on the team, which is still pretty dang good. But I think that's indicative of a player who's willing to do that. Go out there and play whatever role he's assigned any given day. There were two of your fellow teammates that also managed double digits in those three categories, assists, goals, and defenses. Can you guess who those other two were? You're on the spot now. You're in the hot seat.
Oh, gosh, Greg, that's a really tough question. Give me a minute to think about it.
Should I keep jabbering on while you think about it, or you want to? You need silence.
I mean, I'll say to start off, like, I don't look at the stat sheets. You know, I don't think that's productive for me as a player. It doesn't help our team. You know, I mean, I look at it when anyone looks at stats. For me, you know, everyone has their own personal opinion. It either has a neutral or a negative impact for me, and so, you know, why look at it if that's the case? And, you know, I'm more concerned about what I can contribute on the field and just, you know, setting goals from, you know, a process standpoint. You know, can we accomplish this little goal offensively? Can we accomplish this little goal defensively? Stuff like that. So this is a really tough question for me because
I'm not looking at the stats at all. Where's your gut?
Yeah. Jeez. You know, so, I mean, I'm guessing I'm going to go with Duke here. You know, obviously a very good offensive player, but also, you know, very wise and has a knack for timely Ds as my first guess.
Sorry, that's no good. I'll make the noise, but I will bail you out here to say that the other two, actually, here's what we're going to do. I'll give you one of the other ones. It's Brad Scott, who we'll actually be talking about just here in a little bit, spoiler alert. But then I'm going to leave the last one just hanging out there. If anyone wants to tweet at the DC Breeze, I have not verified this yet, but I think I'll be able to swing you some opening day tickets next year. If you can tweet, be the first one to tweet the correct third answer at the DC Breeze. Let's get the social media firing here once for hot air. But anyhow, so that said, well, I'll leave to a new topic because I think you're right, and I think again, maybe, you know, your all around statistics are indicative of someone willing to play the role, not worried about those numbers, and much more worried about getting the final job done as opposed to counting something on any individual day.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right, and that's, you know, what I'm, you know, most focused on as a player and as a teammate. So
okay, so here's not a counting number question. Here is. What did Ben Fang do after winning two games this weekend? How do you end an AUDL season? How do you celebrate? Is it calm time for collection? Is it a rowdy party? What did you do this Saturday night after winning two games on the weekend?
Well, I'll say Friday night to start off with. I think we had an 8:30 game, so our game ended, and I think that started a little bit late. It got delayed a little bit, so it ended about 11, maybe 11:30. That was pretty late, you know, to start off with. Actually, we had truck stop practice the next morning. And, you know, so I really did nothing that night. You know, went home, got some food, and went to bed.
a chocolate milk celebration.
Absolutely. Chocolate milk is great. And I did have chocolate milk, right? So, no, on Saturday, so went out to the big board on Saturday night, you know, and just got a chance to hang out with the team. And, you know, some of the players were out there. And
some of the fans, I imagine.
Yeah, some of the fans were out there as well. And, you know, it was just really, really cool to just, you know, see that atmosphere. And, you know, Saturday was a really special experience. I think that, you know, not only did we play well as a team, but the atmosphere was phenomenal. I mean, Greg, and, like, you know, we had, you look in the crowd and you see everyone's smiling, you know, everyone's happy. You know, people are having fun, whether it's they're chatting with friends, you know, enjoying the game, or just hanging out at the beer garden. It just seemed like people were doing something and they enjoyed, you know, the promos, all the in-between quarter and the halftime activities, and, you know, they enjoyed the product on the field. So it was really, really fun experience to be there Saturday night, and I think yeah, and that was great.
I think that was the biggest crowd of the field, crowd of the year, rather. I think 500, 600 folks out at that Breeze game. So A lot of noise and kind of that, I think that atmosphere builds, right? You hear the person next to you go nuts, and then that just a chain reaction right down the line.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think it's always great to end a season on that note, not just from an on-the-field perspective, but just, you know, in the fans. And I think it was just a great overall atmosphere there. But yeah, I'd say afterwards, you know, it was fun being at the big board and, you know, talking with, you know, players and fans and coaches. And a lot of the talk was, you know, about the future of the Breeze. And, you know, not necessarily from an individual perspective, but, you know, people were very excited about the end of our season. And I think, you know, like, how can this team improve going forward was, you know, the big central question that a lot of people were asking. And I think, you know, people were really, you know, sacrificing, you know, not worried about the individual part, but like, hey, how can we make this team better? And that's really fun to hear.
So you mentioned $1 million word in that response, which I think is, again, perfectly deltaing to our final piece of the conversation here today, which is about the future of this franchise. And so there's big news, I know, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to sit down with you here today. Big news afoot. It's only a week into the offseason here for the Breeze, but they're already making a splash or a gust, I don't know. You can't make a splash in the air. And that move was signing both yourself and Brad Scott to 3-year contracts. Really exciting, I think, on many levels. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, I guess first off, we're definitely excited. And I think, you know, we're excited. We had a very, very enjoyable 2 years. Both Brad and I have been on the team since the beginning of last year. Very enjoyable 2 years to start off with. You know, it was, you know, very fun for us. We really enjoyed playing for Dutchie. We learned a lot playing for him. I think we improve individually, and we keep on learning, and that's something that we really want to do. Working with our owner Don has been phenomenal. You know, and he listens. You know, we bounce ideas off each other about ways that we can improve the team on and off the field. So, you know, those factors itself, you know, and just seeing that atmosphere Saturday night, it just told us that, like, hey, you know, if Saturday night was like this, what could this be like next year? What could this be like 2-3 years from now?
So what does it mean for you then? So now you're you know, a face of the franchise, dare I say, you know, 3 years signed, you're a guy that we know is going to be out there, you know, day in and day out. You know, what does this mean for your role with the Breeze, you know, changing or you know, talk to me about that.
You know, I guess, I mean, obviously those decisions haven't made yet. Those are decisions of the coaching staff. And like I said before, it's about doing what's best for the team. And, you know, whatever role that may be, I'm happy to fill it, you know, as long as it helps our team, you know, be successful.
So, okay. So then let me ask, maybe not from a personal standpoint, but, you know, you said, you know, hey, we got, you know, 500 or so people out here for the last game on a beautiful summer night, beating Rochester. You know, talk to me more about, you know, that level of, like, how do we maintain this atmosphere? You know, have those been conversations that you've had?
Yeah, so, I mean, something that you notice in the crowd is that there is a bunch of different groups out there. You know, you certainly had your ultimate players from club teams, college teams, youth teams. But you also had parents. You know, you also had adults. You also had, you know, other youth communities that had never been to an ultimate game before.
Sure. You know, people getting first-time exposure.
Absolutely. And you walk up to the fans afterwards and, you know, they ask for your autograph, and, you know, the questions you ask back are, hey, you know, how did you enjoy this experience? You know, like, oh, man, this was fun. This was amazing. I want to play Frisbee now. And, and you know, they had so much fun out there. They wanted to come back. And, you know, that's not just, you know, the 10-year-old. It's also the 40-year-old, you know, that enjoyed that experience. So I think, you know, going forward, that there's certainly potential, you know, to expand you know, the Breeze, and to promote the organization, you know, not only within the ultimate community, but outside the ultimate community as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, I think you and I are embedded enough in the ultimate community that we can see we've got real strong draw there. But I think the future of all of these, you know, plans we are laying now depends on our ability to appeal to a more general audience. I think that's well said. So I think that's the main things I wanted to talk about. That's a 3-year contract, super exciting, both for you and Brad. And we've had Brad already, a friend of the podcast, if I can say. I've had him on once already, and this off season, I suppose there'll be at least every now and then there'll be probably some sort of podcast with some updates, resecuring our home field and those sort of announcements can be made. I might get some other interesting folks, either the current players for the Breeze or maybe even some of the ownership behind the mic, and they can kind of talk to some of the big strategic things they're thinking about. I don't know. I mean, I think you talked about this a little bit, but I'm looking down my sheet, and there is kind of one more maybe emotional question I wanted to ask you. And that, what motivated you? You said you had fun out there the last 2 years, but what motivated you to say, I want to be here 3 years. I don't want to play this year to year. I want to be committed.
Yeah, and it's about that long-term growth process. And we saw a lot of growth in the team this year, not only on the field, but I think off the field. Having a new venue in Gallaudet was phenomenal. It provides a great in-game atmosphere.
Yeah, right downtown in D.C.
Right downtown in D.C., you're absolutely right. And, having the opportunity to play there again next year and establish a base there and to establish relationships with that local Gallaudet, the NOMA community, could be huge for us. And I think, that's not a sort of, 1 year process. That's a 3 year process or maybe even longer.
Yeah.
And I'm very, very excited to be a part of that.
So if I can summarize that, you're signing to see the fruits of your own labor. This is a building machine.
Yeah, no, absolutely. At the end of these 3 years, regardless of what happens, I hope I look back at it and say, hey, that was a really, really fun and rewarding experience where we were able to, reach out to, the youth community, the college community, the club community, the WAFC community, the NOMA community, clinics with middle schools throughout D.C., to reach out to all those communities and be like, hey, this really grew over the last 3 years. And that's what I'm hoping for at the end of these 3 years. So,
all right. Well said. So I think that's about wrapping up Hot Air this week. Thanks again to our sponsors, Papa John's Pizza, Oak Creek Apparel, Waveborn Sunglasses. That's the community sponsor, of course. We talked a lot about Ben's Fond Times at the Big Board, a bar down on H Street, 4th and H, and then the Kellogg Conference Center. Thanks a lot for listening to Hot Air.